Schultzy's over there, too. What's up, Schultzy?
Happy Friday, guys.
Schultzy's got a dope little Mariners hat on. Well, it's not surprising he's wearing a Mariners hat, but it's a cool Mariners design. It's got, like, the old-school 80s M's logo over the baseball.
What's funny is I saw that there's a TikTok reel or whatever the hell you want to call it of, like, 20-year-olds trying to guess old sports logos, and that one popped up, and they were like...
they don't know.
Nothing. One of them was, like, Brewers, and I'm like... I can at least see that because that one's the more traditional blue and yellow.
Yeah.
Well, and that's where, if you don't know the story, that's where the Milwaukee Brewers colors came from was the 69 Seattle Pilots. So I digress.
Yeah. But it was just funny watching these like 23-year-olds try to guess old sports logos.
But it's in the current Mariners colors. Mm. It's got the teal hat with the doesn't have the navy belt, just a teal hat with blue. And it's a little bit darker blue than that original M's. It's a good looking hat. It's a good looking lid.
Appreciate you guys.
And it's always Mariners. It's all Mariners all day.
Well, I would be shocked. I'm assuming there are a few Mariners fans even that wouldn't know this logo. But the
really?
Yes, because
I feel like that's part of fandom is that you should know your team's previous logos.
Fair, but this was kind of the alternate from like 88 to 92 until they switched to what they're kind of wearing now. But the Blazers and Mariners have figured this out. In fact, I think all sports have done this with Fanatics leading the charge. Man, that retro gear that's available. Oh my God. I'm pissed at my team right now. I don't like what the Blazers are doing, but I'm going to go buy that, you know, the jacket or the jersey that's from the 90s because I am just, okay, like the nostalgia is reaping upon like me.
You get it. You are in.
I'm all in
on the throwbacks.
The NBA has butchered NBA draft
so
hats.
No, they've butchered everything recently.
Well, no, but I mean, like, but the draft hats they had, they were like throwback, like italic, you know, cursive script, like early 90s. And I was like, those aren't bad. They're not the best, but I was like, those aren't bad. For once, I don't hate that hat.
Not too could be shabby. Worse.
And the thing that sucks is Portland has a great colorway with red, black, and white. They do not have many good hats.
No, their hats are terrible.
It's like, look, who is in charge of this?
Here's my problem with the new hats that are coming out now is that we've gotten into big patch hats now. That's like what hats are. Like they just put these massive patches all over the hat. Like, busy hats, don't have a problem with. Those 90s, remember the 90s, Logo Athletic? Like, the old NFL sideline hats that look like
a million things going on?
Yeah, yeah, that look like the old paper cups that were, like, turquoise and purple. You know those ones?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
But it was, like, on every team hat. Those were sweet. Don't mind a busy hat, but why are we putting these massive patches on them? I just don't like it.
Nostalgia, baby.
Just give me the logo on the front of the hat, like a baseball hat, and we'll call it good.
You don't like mine. You've mentioned that before, the one that I have.
Yeah, they have the side patches. In the old Mitchell and S hats, so many of those hats look great, and then they have like a patch on the side and then a patch on the back. Come on, get off my porch with that.
We're bringing everything back from the 90s. That's kind of the problem.
God,
I'm okay with that because a lot of the stuff then was better.
Well, I'm glad everybody's here for this because on the tail end of Dirt and Sprague, there was a ranking of the bandwagon fans. And Schultz, you were not on this list.
Appreciate that.
I do not believe that a Mariners and Blazer fan can be on a bandwagon of any sort list. But you and I both were. You and I both were. Daniel's son.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You were, oh gosh, I think it was Swag was one, you were two, I was three on the bandwagon list.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
What am I bandwagoning?
Your sports teams,
yeah.
Danny.
Which teams am I bandwagoning?
I don't know. I think they said USC, it was the listener, USC and the Cardinals. I think they're getting confused with your fandom not making sense to bandwagon.
Yeah, that's fine, but like I have like legit reasons. I grew up next to the Coliseum, USC's.
Well, you
been
didn't
there.
Like you. When did you move here? How old were you?
Six, and I spent my summers down there.
I mean,
yeah,
Danny, you're 40 years old.
Yeah,
you know,
I spent a lot of time down there.
I know, but you're far more Oregonian than anything else. Yeah. Like formative years were spent in Oregon.
I did not, you know? I never cared about Oregon State. Never been my jam. And the Cardinals, I went to a Dodgers Cardinals game when I was a kid, and that was the team that I fell in love with.
But I don't.
Cardinals weren't great then.
Well, the Cardinals have always been good.
Yeah.
And they were asking, like, they don't know my Astros stardom or fandom. My Astros fandom started in the 88. My dad's a Dodgers fan. He's from L.A. And the Astros were playing the Dodgers. And this is back when all the games weren't on TV and we couldn't watch them all the time. And I see my son do the exact same thing. Because my dad was a Dodgers fan in 88, the Astros were playing the Dodgers, Mike Scott Astros. I was like, nope. And I went hard against him. I liked the Tequila Sunrise uniforms. Back then, I just called them the candy corn uniforms.
No, that makes sense.
But I then, as I became a little leaguer, played second base, was a leadoff hitter. Craig Biggio was my jam, and it was my favorite player. And Jeff Bagwell had a funny stance, like them. They were never good. And
especially then, yeah.
The one thing that I have going for me is the fact they were like a 500 team, and then they went to the World Series and got swept by the White Sox. But they were always just like a 500 team. The only thing I have going for me is that I'd stuck by them when they took the shortcut through hell and had back-to-back-to-back 100 loss seasons. That's a record.
Yeah, it's tough.
Yeah. But my Patriots fandom, the first like big-time college football game I ever went to was with my dad, Washington State, Oregon. And Drew Bledsoe was the quarterback for the Cougs. And
which that's a decent one to be a part of.
I had liked the Patriots uniforms. I had gotten a chance to like get some up close and personal with the Patriots, like got to see them up close. And I was just like, I like that logo. Don't really have an NFL team. My dad was like, he didn't push any fandom on me. I think PTSD from the Dodgers. And so I became a Patriots fan because they sucked and they got Drew Bledsoe. I remember my dad vividly saying, that's going to be the number one pick in the draft. And he went to, and I got to see him play, and that was it. Then they sucked for a couple of years and then went to a Super Bowl in 96 and never looked back.
Yeah, I mean, you embraced them when they sucked.
Yeah. It's really hard to sell, as a Patriots fan living in Oregon, that you liked them before they were good. But I did. And if you want to call me a bandwagon fan, go ahead.
Well, everybody forgets I'm a Rams fan. And everyone's
you're
like,
a Rams fan.
Yeah, how the hell did that happen?
Well, because you don't wear Rams gear every day.
No, but I wouldn't wear Seahawks gear if I were a Seahawk fan either. I got to pick one sport. And frankly, Ducks are a pretty close second to my Mariners. So the Blazers fall even below that. But no, it's not really a question. It's just like they were a West Coast team. They moved. And I took my fandom for my dad like y'all.
I had... this texture says I'm a Bears fan simply because my family is from there.
There you go.
They're from Bears? Chicago, I'm assuming. You were raised by Bears?
No, the Goldilocks story, you know, it's a little freakier than you think it is.
I loved the Bears too, and I still love the Bears uniforms. They are so simple, and I love them, but
The throwback Bears.
I loved Walter Payton when I was a kid.
That's
the
doable.
Sweetness. That was my first. Yeah. Remember the Hutch uniforms? Mm-hmm. I had a little Walter Payton Hutch uniform that my dad's players at Lewis and Clark put an L on in the C, interlocking with the C, so it was an LC.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. So I had my little Walter Payton uniform. It was dope.
The
those are great.
The times that I bandwagon are like the NBA Finals.
Mm.
I got really behind the Pacers.
Yeah.
My actual teams, there's some tie to all of them. It was never about like attaching to a winner or anything like that. I mean, the closest thing I could get to that with me is the Kings, the LA Kings, because I didn't care about hockey until Gretzky gets traded to the Kings. And I was like, oh, that's fun.
I don't think, and I'm with this texture, it says, I don't agree with Dirt and Sprague's definition of bandwagon. Regardless of why you choose a team as a kid, if you stick with them, no matter what, I don't think you're a bandwagon fan.
No.
Yeah.
No, it's like you're forming, like, now if you go swag and you abandon your fandom an adult, that is a bandwagon fan.
I don't think you can jump teams. I think any jumping, that is the bandwagon. Like you're jumping a team
with
for somebody
the exception
that is better.
Of like you have an owner that has betrayed you, ripped the team out of your city.
Yeah, like if you're a Clippers fan, which they didn't have them anyways. No. But if like for the five people that were like, Crawford used to be, or he is a Clippers fan. Mm-hmm. And I gave him the out and said, you don't have to. And he's like, no, I need to.
Yeah.
And he just stuck with it.
Like Chargers fans. Your team leaves San Diego and you're like, they went to LA, screw them. And you want to go be a fan of the Cardinals or Raiders or whatever other team you want to that's close to you.
Yeah.
That's fine. I have no beef with that.
Yeah. And I think this is what's great about Portland is that we're getting a bunch of texts in, fan text line, 503-864-6326, of just people and their favorite teams. Like a Blazer, Bronco, and Cub fan. It makes no sense to me. That, I love that about this city. Because Blazers will probably be a lot of folks, unless you're one of those stupid Laker fans or Warriors fans. Now, you guys
those
are all
bandwagon
fans.
Yes.
Yeah. But a lot of Blazers here. But outside of that, it is a crapshoot, man. And you can go any which way with it. Like, it is all over the place. With NFL, MLB, and I love that about this city. I think that that's one of the coolest things about Portland is that, sure, Seattle's up the road, and I have to tell people this all the time. We have a lot of Seahawks fans in the area and in the region because it's also, we cross the river into Vancouver, and you are in Seahawks territory, and that is a little bit different. But people from Portland have seen, like, Seattle kind of look down their nose at us as little brother for so long. It's like, there's a lot of people that are just like, no, I'm not going to be a, if anything, I'll be a 49er fan.
Or, a lot of 49ers gear in these sports goods stores here.
Or when they were in the AFC West, I will be a Raiders fan. And we have a lot of that variation here. And I think that that's awesome. And it makes it unique. And it doesn't make Portland a bad sports town. And people are like, well, you don't have a lot of sports teams. Nah, it makes it just different. It's a different place. And if the Portland Diamond Project ever, like, gets an MLB team, that will be fascinating to me. Because we've talked about this in that, like, I will be a fan of that team. They are here. I would love that
team. Oh, God, yeah. Like, we've talked about this. We will hold our love for
I will still
Astros
be an Astros
Cardinals
fan.
Like, Portland gets an MLB team. And the Astros or the Cardinals go to town. We're 100% going to go to that series and have our Astros and Cardinals hats on for those series. But we're going to enjoy them regardless outside of that.
Yeah.
Dirt and Sprague said I was blasphemous for not putting the PDX future team above my Mariners. Because I will never do that. My Mariners will always be above if Portland gets a team. Even though I'm from here, I can't switch my fan. This is something that I've put my life into for the past 20-25
years. You do host a Mariners podcast.
Yeah. Well, that, and it's not really based on that. It's just that I love this team so much. You've got
equity in it. Like that's yeah. Like you've got your kids. You know, I'm working on having one. Like if that kid ends up being a Mariner or a PDX team fan and not a Cardinal fan. Totally cool. Oh, totally cool with that. It's the local homegrown team, but past 40, you can't switch.
Yeah.
You can't switch up.
The only team my kid has dug his heels in on are the Lakers, and I hate it.
Mm. And Luka going there certainly does not help.
It's the damn 2K social media influence there.
Mm. I hate it. No, he's a LeBron fan.
I mean, at least Luka's more likable than Kobe.
The only reason why he likes that team is because I hate them so much.
Yeah.
Like, that is it. I now see why. And that's why with baseball, I'm like, whatever, dude. He likes the Braves. He loves Ronald Acuna Jr. He likes the Padres. I think he just likes every Major League Baseball team. But, and then he likes the Dolphins. I don't know why he likes the Dolphins.
Tua?
No.
Cool colors?
Jalen Waddle?
He likes Waddle. He likes Tyreek Hill, which that's a whole thing. I'm like, dude, I don't know if he'd like you. But this is a, I don't know why. And so I've given up. I need to stop letting him trigger me with his Lakers, though.
Because you can't let it get you.
It does.
That's why I like the Ducks. My dad liked the Beavers. It was an antithesis thing. I can speak for sure.
Yeah, those are that's tough living there. You just got to let them make their own mistakes. And I let them know, it's a mistake to be a Laker fan. You don't want to be a Laker fan.
Yeah, no, don't ever do that.
Don't do that.
No. Maybe that's part of why I became a Blazers fan, because I became a Blazers fan before I ever moved here, because the first game I ever went to just happened to be a Blazers-Lakers game. Maybe had they been playing, the Lakers were playing the Bulls, I would have been a Bulls fan. But everybody down there was Showtime Lakers fan, so I zigged when everybody else zagged.
See, Timmy the Man says, Philadelphia Flyers fan since junior high during the Lindros days. Ooh, Eric Lindros. And beyond. Cubs fan since kid waking up in summertime, turning on WGN.
Yeah, WGN listening to Harry Carey.
Dude, a TBS, lot of Braves, a lot of Cubs fans because of WGN and TBS here.
It worked. The brainwashing worked in the monoculture.
Literally any day at 11 o'clock in the summer, I could turn on a Cubs game right here. It was weird.
Yeah. 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 Oh, hey, here's another one. Not just ownership, but like another justifiable reason for changing teams would be if they signed someone like James or Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, somebody that's so egregious. Yeah, you're just like, I'm out, dog.
I can't do this. Instead, though, like the people of Cleveland, remember the blow-up dolls on massage tables that they did for when they signed him? You remember that?
Yeah.
Like that. There's idiot fans like that, too. You know?
Yeah, there was that one guy that brought his kid out there that's like, it was entirely, he was screaming like he's innocent until proven guilty, or all that stuff that went along with it. It's like, maybe don't bring your kid out there for this and let everybody see your how horrible of a person you are.
Yeah, probably. 59 years old would drop the Seahawks in a minute if Portland ever got an NFL team. Well, I mean, we won't, so you can be a Seahawks fan forever.
For life, yeah.
I mean,
that's fair.
Dude, London's going to get a team before Portland does.
Mexico City is going to get a team before Portland.
Yeah. Yeah. My kid, born and raised in Portland, diehard Bengals fan. See? Like, if he's actually young, then that's like Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase. For me, I loved Icky Woods, the Icky Shuffle.
Oh, yeah, that's
right.
I
messed
with
the Icky Shuffle for a little bit. And then random athlete, and I love this game. Random athlete that you rooted for no reason, Peter Warwick.
Oh, that's a good one. I was thinking Warwick Dunn.
Yeah,
Warwick Dunn was one that I loved.
No.
Terrell Davis.
Also Florida State, but I don't know. Loved him. I have no idea. I have no idea why. All right. Well, let's get this. We got a show to do.
We do.
We got sports.
Yeah.
I have a feeling we'll revisit this, though, because we've got a lot that's coming through here on when you can jump teams.
Yeah. We need to have like the 10 commandments of jumping teams.
Look, I'm not going to lie. It is the reaction to the Blazers and Yang Hansen. Mm-hmm. There's some that have, it's so adverse. They're like, I'm out.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. We may have Blazer fans jumping here in Portland.
We'll see.
But we did get to hear from Yang Hansen today, the newest Portland Trailblazer, Joe Montana. Huh? 7'1" Joe Montana. Danny, you were there. We'll talk about it next. Danny and Dusty on the Fan. We got to meet Yang Hansen today. The newest Portland Trailblazer. He will wear the number 16 here in Rip City.
So not 15.
No. Well, you can't because that's retired. Mm-hmm. But he is going with number 16. Joe Montana.
Joe Montana.
I mean, that's pretty awesome.
I like it. It's not the worst number. We talked about numerology yesterday a little bit. 16's okay.
No.
15 shouldn't be retired, but that's a whole nother segment.
Yeah.
Yeah. Again, that was one of the numbers that I mentioned yesterday for him. Johnny Davis, 77-78, and CJ Ellaby, the only other Blazers to wear number 16.
Mm-hmm.
That bar's not very high for him to clear, then.
No, pretty easy for the. It's one you can step over.
Yeah. Let's see. Johnny Davis.
He's fine.
Well, I mean, he was only here for two years.
I'm just talking about his NBA career.
He averaged like 9 points a game in Portland.
Mm-hmm. What was his career high?
And about 1.75 rebounds per game in Portland. 18 points in Indiana the year after he left Portland. That's fitting.
I say he was fine.
It's been happening to Portland since the 70s, man.
It hasn't really happened to that many guys. Everybody does that. It's really only Jermaine O'Neal.
Yeah. Well, his number isn't retired. He was on that 77 team, so.
Will Barton looked pretty good on the Nuggets, too.
He was good here, though.
Not as good.
Oh, thrill. Nah, he was about the same. And
okay,
he was
all right.
about the same.
Yeah, no, Will was the same. No.
Yeah, Thrill Barton, what you saw is what you got
yeah,
in his career, and it was awesome. I love talking
to Will, one of the best.
Thrill Barton he's great.
There was no like difference of like when media was around versus when it wasn't.
Yeah.
He's just the same dude.
Yeah, it's just like, man, is what it is. Yeah. Guess we're going to roll with it. What did we learn from Yang Han Sen today? I think the biggest thing that we learned is his interests.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and he does speak English. This is going to be hard. We're going to have you come over the top at the end of this. I don't know how well it plays on AM radio, but here is Yang Han Sen on his interests.
Sometimes I sleep.
Me too.
All time sleep. And I like play PS5.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. PS5.
And I like eat.
I like to eat too.
Look, and
eat, sleep, PS5. Let's go, buddy.
He also said he likes the weather here. He likes the rain. The rain will help him sleep better. So I'm like, all right, you like to chill, you like to play some games, mm-hmm. you're cool with the rain,
mm-hmm.
like the food scene.
Yeah.
Buddy, welcome to Portland.
I'm just worried that he finds weed.
Don't they all in there?
I mean, if my interests are eating, sleeping, and playing PS5. It's like, brother, if you like weed, you're going to be in trouble in Portland.
There's certainly some players you probably want to keep him away from.
Kevin Durant being one. Although, Kevin Durant only plays video games and smokes, allegedly, so what's the problem with that?
I mean, see? Look. He's a very highly effective basketball player.
Look, I'll just say, you know, the one that always said it was Percy Harvin, weed helps him play better. No, it doesn't.
Mm-mm.
No, it doesn't.
Helps the recovery, mm-mm. not during the damn game.
Not even that. Mm-mm. It's you're just such an anxious wreck that you need something to calm you down. And buddy, go to get a prescription for something else to calm you down. You'd like getting high.
All right.
Just say that. That's totally fine. But Hansen, you hear him there, it's broken English, but he is already trying to use English. He is like, his English is very, very, very limited to basketball terminology and little things like that. I talked to some folks that are with Clutch, who he is represented by. It's Clutch. He was in town in LA for Clutch's big workout before the draft. I'm going to say it was a month before the draft. And he was without a translator for a little while, and he was kicking it with like Kamen Malawach, who was also English as a second language kind of a guy, and getting the immersive experience. And just talking to those guys, they were all like, no, like he really, like, everyone likes him. Like even with the language barrier, he's a very likable, affable, good teammate guy that everybody just kind of wants to connect with. And I think the interesting thing about him, I watched about 5 hours worth of film on him last night. That translates to his game. He is a guy that is and when you get the Jokic or Şengün comparisons, he wants to pass the ball. He wants to get other guys involved. And I think that's just kind of who he is as a person, where he had another quote out of there where he was asked about kind of his love for the game. When he said when he was a kid, he didn't like to run up and down the court. He was like, I'm big. It makes me tired. But when he was 13, he played in a tournament and basically beat the hell out of everyone. And from that, he was like, I really loved winning.
Mm.
And the winning spirit kind of like made me come back, and then like
no way, people like winning.
Well, he just, you know, when you're a kid, and it's very different in China, and it's like how the development programs and stuff like that work. But he was like, I want to make everybody else better, and I was like, okay, I'm just kind of, you know, jotting some notes down of like, okay, this is what he says. Let's see how that translates to the tape and how things work out. But yeah, no, that line is already kind of going semi-viral with the eat, sleep, PS5. And look, if I'm a executive, I want a guy who plays basketball and is not a problem off the court. Like, before comments really got started, he made a quick introduction thanking everybody for being there through a translator. And then said kind of an aside of like, I want to get to the point where I can just go and be on my own and just be in the practice facility. And I was like, okay, this is a guy that wants to get to work and immediately just wants to get into the basketball. Because we've mentioned this before a little bit. There's a lot of players, not just in the NBA and professional sports, who are very good at what they do. They don't love it. And that is a limiting factor to how far they will go in their careers. Early intel is that he loves it and he wants to do it. And he wants to, like, he wants to eat, sleep, breathe basketball. And if all you are doing is basketball and chilling, sign me up.
Yeah. It's the on the court stuff. He's the opposite of Ace Bailey.
Mm-hmm.
Where Ace Bailey on the court has got all of the things. Mm-hmm. Everything else is the problem, right? This is the big issue is, will it translate? Can he fill the gaps that he has in his mm-hmm. game? And the major question marks that he does have. We got a chance to hear from Chauncey Billups on Young Hansen. I want to get to that audio next. Danny and Dusty, here's Schultzy with SportsCenter. Felton was bad. They gave cupcakes and then all of a sudden he was like, I'm just going to come in fat. You guys gave me cupcakes when you introduced me.
Yeah, I mean, Galler was the one who took that picture and gave him the nickname, the cupcakes. It was at an event. He took that picture of him with a cupcake in his mouth.
That wasn't an event. That was his introductory press conference. I was there. I took a picture as well.
Oh, did you?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was his introductory press conference at the Boys and Girls Club.
That's what it was. It was the Boys and Girls Club.
That is where they did the press conference at.
I couldn't remember what it was.
Something.
Yeah.
Everybody's like, what are they doing?
He was, if I remember right, 40 pounds overweight.
Yeah. But Chauncey Billups got a chance to talk about the newest Portland Trailblazer, number 16 on your roster, number one in your hearts, Young Hansen.
Obviously really excited about how it turned out. Hansen is a good young player, very, very talented, very young, like most of the guys that get drafted. But we're really excited about him. We really are. I mean, he can do a lot of amazing things out there.
Wow.
One of the things I love the most is just kind of how he plays the game. His IQ is really, really high. He plays the game the right way. He's a really good teammate, playing for his others to make other guys better. His competitive fire, you know, really competes out there. He loved that about him. You can just tell that he's been taught the right way. So a lot of things as a coach that I have to teach with young guys, I don't have to teach this kid. He's been taught the right way. So I'm really excited about him.
You can never tell with Chauncey.
No.
That man does not sound excited about him.
He says a lot of the same things in general, but I thought it was at least poignant that he pointed out the whole, I don't have to teach him the team stuff and how to be a dude and the buy-in and all those things, because he's had to do that with guys like Scoot and Shaden, who did not play professional basketball that mattered.
College.
Shaden comes from EYBL, the last competitive, takes a year off, doesn't play at Kentucky. Scoot plays in the G League for the Ignite, where winning is not even on the menu.
Yeah.
And so Hansen is coming in having that.
All right, let's get to what are Chauncey's expectations of him in year one?
I just see him just continuing to get better and better and better and learn our game, learn our system. Offensively and defensively, learning the language, you know, it's just so much development that needs to happen. But, you know, I will feel very comfortable putting him in the game right now. He's that good, you know. So to me, this is not like a project type of situation. This guy's ready to go, you know. But he's in, you know, a crowded room, you know, DA, DC, and Rob, Hansen, WAP. So, this will be an incredible educational year for him. And when he does get a chance to play, I think everybody will be really impressed.
Boy, we got both ends of the spectrum there. There's a lot of development that needs to happen, mm-hmm. and he's ready to play.
I think the development stuff has more to do with the speed, pace, physicality of the NBA. And I the question that I ended up asking Hansen was about that. Like, what are the things that you need to do in order to translate from the CBA to the NBA? And his answer was a version of, I need to get stronger, faster, my body, like getting my body ready for the NBA. And I think that's a lot of what Chauncey is talking about on the development front. From a skill front, rebounding, shot blocking, passing, finishing. Like those, when you ask any rookie you draft, doesn't matter what team we're talking about, how does a player get on the floor?
Mm-hmm.
That you have to have something that gets you on the floor. With Hansen, it is Rebounding, shot blocking, passing, finishing. Those will get him on the floor.
Can he do it in the NBA? And that's yep. the big question, and that's the unknown. And look, that's the big question with any big, mm-hmm. because it's so hard to translate. Because seven-footers, they shine in college no mm-hmm. matter what.
Because like, you're huge.
You're just bigger than everybody else.
And then you're not playing another seven-footer every single night.
This is going to be a really interesting project that the Blazers got.
Somebody texted in, will Hansen play in Summer League? I've been told, yes, he will indeed play at Summer League, and I'm going to be very interested to see how that goes.
Why wouldn't he?
Yeah, but he played against them last year with the Chinese national team, and he did stand out at times. He also played in the Summer Classic in Utah, and I had somebody tell me, he's like, yeah, I mean, Barlow talked about it, like the time difference, like in that, because he had just gotten over to mm-hmm. Utah. A lot of people were like, yeah, because the whole team kind of looked sluggish. It's like, yeah, when there's like a whole day time difference and you're just playing basketball 2 days later, when you have that much of a time difference, I think it's 1 day for every 6 hours. So it usually takes about a week for the whole day for you to catch up. So if you're going 2-3 days after traveling a whole day cycle behind, it's going to take you a while for your body clock to kind of reset. But I'm going to be really interested. Somebody else asked if he's going to play for the Remix. I've been told that he will probably spend some time with the Remix if they go into the season with, you know, three other centers in front of him. If they move one, let's say they move one of Rob or DA, there's still going to be another guy there. And it's interesting because if you go down to the G League as a seven-footer, you're going to put up crazy mm-hmm. numbers. Like I mentioned this yesterday. WAP went down there and put up 37 points. There's just not a lot of bigs, because if you're a true big, teams are going to want to roster you. Because there's a shortage of guys that are over 7 foot tall. But I asked about that, and they said if they put him down with a Remix, it's not going to be about like putting him on the block and featuring him as a scorer. It's about pulling him out, free throw line extended, 3-point line, and have him work as an initiator and be a part of those things.
Well, because the speed is what he said he needs to work on, mm-hmm. and they have speed in the G League. They don't have size.
No. And all so right. you that's the way you kind of attack that or replicate that so that he can get more exposure to it, get more NBA minutes in that regard.
All right. We will take a break from Yang Hensin and his presser today. The only guy they really unveiled, so because they didn't make a move, but they did make some other moves yesterday. They signed a couple Exhibit 10s and a two-way contract. We'll get to those a little bit later in the show. But coming up next, the newest member of the Pac State, Texas State, has received an invitation to join the Pac-12, the worst-kept secret in college sports right now, which means that the Texas State Board of Regents has to meet. Apparently, the reason why they can't just say, yep, we want in, they have to have 72 hours notice in order to hold a meeting.
To convene. Okay.
They needed to do that. It needs to be done by Monday because July 1st... the
buyout
from the Sun Belt goes from $5 million to $10 million. So if you're wondering why they just didn't say, yes, we want it now, you have to give 72 hours notice before you hold a Board of Regents meeting. But that means that the Pac State is alive and well. You now have 8 football members for the football for the conference now. That is huge because they weren't able to be a accredited conference mm-hmm. without 8 members to it. So now if you look at it, you have Oregon State, Washington State, Boise State, Utah State, Fresno State, San Diego State, mm-hmm. Texas State, and I'm missing a Colorado State.
Yeah.
So there are your 8 all-state schools.
The Pac State.
They need to make it. The logo just needs to say Pac ST with the number 8.
Yeah.
That's what it should be. It's the Pac State right now. And then Gonzaga for basketball.
You know? Gonzaga State.
Yeah. Yeah. Perfect.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
All right. Do you know anything about Texas State University?
I know their colors and their mascot.
Yeah, they are the Bobcats.
Yep. Love the colorway. The maroon and gold and the Bobcat outline. I'm picking up what they're putting down.
Look.
In the city, San Marcos.
Yeah, San Marcos, which is halfway between San Antonio mm-hmm. and Austin, Texas.
It's where they want to put the high-speed rail system. Is through San Antonio, San Marcos to Austin. There's been this long-held theory that the San Antonio Spurs want to move to Austin, and that won't happen unless that high-speed rail gets set up.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
They have got a small but heavy-hitting list of notable alumni.
Okay. Couldn't tell you one.
You don't know a single one? You will know...
I'll probably know the names. I just couldn't remember that they were there.
You will know all three.
Okay.
You'll know the three names, and then the fourth one, you'll be like, yes, I definitely know him.
Okay.
Okay. Most notable alum, Lyndon B. Johnson.
Oh, okay.
LBJ, the 36th president of the United States. He is the only president to graduate from a Texas university, and he went to Texas State.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
The second one.
I really would have thought a UT Austin would have been on there.
No presidents. No, no presidents from there. The second one might be more notable than even LBJ.
Okay.
George Strait.
Oh, okay.
The gentleman, George Strait, went to Texas State University.
I thought, for some reason, I thought Strait was an Oklahoma guy, but okay.
No, he is Texas through and through. Actually, most of his songs are Texas-based.
Okay.
All My Exes Live in Texas.
Oh, yeah.
Amarillo by Morning. Like he's.
Yeah, no, yeah, now that I think about that.
Amarillo by Morning.
But yep. For whatever reason, I just had Oklahoma in my head.
Yeah. And then number three, Paul Goldschmidt.
Oh.
Yeah. Former Cardinal.
Yeah. Did not know he was a Texas State guy.
Paul Goldschmidt, Texas State. There are other notable alums that they have here. This is the fourth one. You may know the name. I knew the name. But Powers Allen Booth, the actor.
Oh, okay, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he was Curly Bill in Tombstone. Yep. He is he's actually in a lot of stuff. A
lot of supporting role stuff in the
Red
early
Dawn.
90s. Yep.
Yeah, but I think people know him more for Curly Bill.
Mm-hmm. Well,
he's been in a lot. He's been in a lot of stuff though. He's dead, but. Great name, too.
Powers Booth is a great name.
Powers Booth is solid.
Yeah, that's a great name. If your name is Powers, you better be on it.
Yeah. You have I don't know if he's former, United States Air Force General Robert L. Rutherford.
Okay.
Texas State. And then Ricky Wayne Sanders, who was a two-time Super Bowl champion, it says here.
Ricky Sanders.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
And then John Sharp, who is the Texas A&M University System Chancellor. That small. It's
but
a small list. But that is that's if you're coming off the top rope
LBJ,
with
George
LBJ,
Strait?
George Strait, and Paul Goldschmidt, I mean,
politics, music, and sports.
Good.
I mean,
that's pretty good.
I mean, we haven't had 40. How many total presidents have we had? Is it 30? 34 or 35?
Huh?
Total presidents, because you've had dual terms. Because we're on...
I have no idea.
I think it's... Because I think it's right around there. But if let's say you have one of the presidents, you're doing pretty damn good.
It is pretty good. Yeah, you're actually kicking butt right there. I'm trying to look...
like Newberg, the home of... home of Hoover.
Yeah, Herbert Hoover.
You know?
I guess.
Until I moved out there.
I'm looking for other names on here, their notable alumni list, and boy, it really falls off the map after that group.
So you're saying if I went to Texas State, I had a chance?
No, not even close. Oh, Spurgeon Winn. I know him.
Haven't heard that name in God knows how long.
Right?
Jeez.
You throw him in there on Madden and run around for a little bit.
Spurgeon the Sturgeon.
But I'm going LBJ, George Strait, Paul Goldschmidt. Way to go.
Yeah, that's a pretty... I mean, get three heads on a Mount Rushmore.
Also, guess the enrollment of Texas State.
I'm San Marcos. I'm going to say it's more like SMU, where it's like 7,000.
Boy, you are wrong.
Is it way bigger or way smaller?
40,678.
Wow. No kidding.
It is
so
a massive school. Yeah.
Okay.
People want to go to be around and near Austin.
Yeah.
Not everybody gets into UT.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody apparently just goes to Texas State.
So it's on the other side of the scale. Okay.
It has a massive, massive campus.
Yeah. 40,000 is huge.
Yeah.
So it's like the Arizona State of Texas, is what you're saying.
Yes.
Okay.
And their campus is. Pretty big, 517 acres, so it's a very big campus. They got a river running through it. it's apparently pretty kick-ass down there.
Okay.
So San Marcos.
I've driven through San Marcos. That's all I've ever done.
Yeah, that's about what most people do in San Marcos is just drive through. But the newest member of the Pac-12, well, the Pac-State, is Texas State University. It will be approved on Monday. They got an official invitation. And look, by all accounts, they were holding out for a full revenue share because they were like, don't want to do it. Don't want to do it. Well, they used their leverage. They won. And
now we can give finality to what the media rights deal is actually going to look like. We have a general idea, but they couldn't lock anything down until they got the guaranteed eighth member and get the signatures, and then they could proceed down the contractual path.
Yep. There we go. We got it.
The Pac-12 conference is now going to start doing commercials, like from presidents to country music stars. Like they've got people now from their conference. They could push that.
Look, I'm not going to lie. Texas State is probably pushing all of those schools for most notable alums. I mean, you'll probably go San Diego State probably has some good ones.
Yeah.
I mean, Fresno State has got a lot. Yeah. I mean, you can just have, you know, Devonte Adams and Aaron Judge on there, and that's pretty good. Cougs do. I don't know about Utah State, Colorado State, Boise State, surely no.
Yeah, Fresno State has an astronaut, some senators, multiple professional athletes, Matt Garza, Logan Mankins, Rafer Alston.
All right.
I mean, it's they've got quite a bit. Especially when you get into sports, you've got Carr, Dilford.
All right.
Yeah, it's you know what?
I'm going to do this. It's only eight schools. You take four, I'll take four.
Okay. We'll pick them up and
We only got now you take three and I take three cuz I've already done Texas State. You've got Fresno.
Yeah.
I'll take the Beavs, Aggies, and Boise.
Okay.
You take Utah State. I got San Diego State here. So I'll take the Beavs, Boise, and San Diego State. You take Colorado State, Utah State.
Cougs.
And Washington State.
Okay.
All right?
Ah, got it.
We'll get to that. Because Texas State, that's a big three, dude. Lyndon B. Johnson, George Strait, Paul Goldschmidt, not too shabby, guys.
I like it.
All right. Danny Dusty on the Fan.